And so we would just love for you to be informed on what's going on and what to be praying for. Now, this ties in with what we're going to be doing this morning and why these chairs are up here. And some of you may be wondering, you know, why all these chairs are up here. Well, we have, our church sent a team to Managua, Nicaragua on June 17th to the 24th, so Saturday to Saturday. And we partner with a church down there. That's one of our sister churches, part of the Great Commission Churches group, and Grand Commission Managua. And so today we are going to share with you different stories and ways that God had worked, not only in the people there, but also in our own lives. And so you're not going to hear just one sermon. You're going to hear lots of little mini sermons and encouraging words and so on. And so we're going to be doing that basically for the message time today. And I know you'll be blessed. And so along those same lines, though, there's a flyer in your bulletin that talks about tomorrow, July 3rd, we're having a reception for, there's three of the pastors there and their wives that we were just with are now here in Columbus. So, amazingly, they're celebrating their 10th anniversary of planting the church, and the church that we were planted out of at Linworth Road over in Worthington, that church is hosting them. They're speaking there this morning in celebration of their 10th anniversary of the church plant. So they're stateside, and we get them for about 24 hours, okay? So I know tomorrow evening is not the best time for everyone, but I did see that at least, I think, 58 people said they were going to come through tomorrow from 6 to 8 for this reception we're having. So we're just having some light refreshments, so we're not serving dinner or anything, so don't expect that. But anyway, we'll have some light refreshments between 6 and 8. You can come through. Two of the individuals that are coming on that team speak English anyway, so they'll have some built-in translators, and I think I saw that Phil will be there, and at least some of the time he can translate for you if he wants a workout. So anyway, it should be a great time. You can come get to know them, just introduce yourself. Some of you guys, you sent your family members down there, and you'll get a chance to meet them in person. This is kind of a rare opportunity, really. And for at least one, if not two of the couples, it's the very first time being in the United States. So it's quite a treat. So anyway, that flyer in there just to remind you of that time of fellowship and a reception for those guys tomorrow. I'd like to spend some time praying together. You know, this week, if you're on that prayer email list, we've sent some needs out, some prayer needs, and we've got some folks in the hospital and some people that have lost loved ones, and it's been kind of a rough week. And so let's just join together and pray to the Lord for those things. Heavenly Father, we just lift up those that are ill in our church here and those that just are not doing well physically. And so we just pray, even specifically for Jim Monroe. We pray for healing for him and for a full recovery. And we pray for Brenda just for strengthening in her as she is continues to pray and be with him at the hospital there. And so we pray for them. And thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ that has sprung into action to assist them. And Lord, we just lift up the Roush family, who Brett lost his mother. And Lord, so we just pray for comfort for them and their extended family. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would meet each and every one of these people in the place that they're at, and that they would know you more intimately and know your care for them as the great shepherd and also as the great physician. And so, Lord, we just pray for this time this morning. Pray that you would be glorified, that people would be pointed to you for what you have done in their lives and through them. And so, Lord, we just ask you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to have the team members, those that are here today, come on up and just pick a seat anywhere. And while I just mention a couple of things. So yeah, come on up. Don't be shy. So while they're coming up, you know, we couldn't actually fit them all in a line because we'd be inside my office over there. There were 16 of us. And I don't know if everybody could be here today. If there are empty seats, then We're close, almost close. Oh, I think all 15 that are here in the state of Ohio made it. That's a miracle in itself. My cousin, Christina Kraft, who's in the D.C. area, she joined us on the trip as well. So before we get started on testimonies, I just want to show you guys, especially for people that, you know, weren't on Facebook following us or are new to the church, to just kind of know what the purpose of this whole trip was. And so the church where we were serving at there and helping, Iglesia Gran Comisión Managua, you know, they rent kind of a storefront place there. It's a two-story place. Child care takes place down on the bottom floor, and the adult service in the top floor, and they have a little fellowship area and everything. So that's where it is. It's on a very busy street there in Managua, the capital city. And so some of the things that we were doing, and you'll hear specific testimonies, so I'm not going to go in detail. We went to a school in the village there and got to share the gospel and did some fun activities with them. You'll see in the lower right-hand corner there all the goodies you guys sent down with us, clothing, toothpaste, toothbrushes, things like that. Were given out, whether it be at the hospital that we visited or at the village where we're at or even in the surrounding neighborhood near the church building. So everything was given away that we went down there with, Bibles and so on. So I only have four total slides here, so don't worry, guys. Don't get nervous. So there's some of the school kids in the upper left and I think the bottom right as well. I wasn't there actually during the school time, but those are two, just a great opportunity to minister to the kids. You'll see the mini construction project that some of you helped out with financially. Up on the right, we laid tile. This home just had nothing but dirt floor, which is very common out in the village. And so this one family living on a small plot of land, there were basically four little huts, actually four or five families living in that little plot of land. So this family here had a connection to the church, so the family there in the bottom left. And so we were laying tile. Damon was teaching us how to do it, along with Raul at his side, our construction manager, basically. No injuries were experienced. Praise God for that. But we laid tile and put up some drywall for them. And so, and they actually have a door on their house now. All right, so we have a cleaning crew up the right. We had a time in the village where we invited couples to. You'll see in the bottom left, they're planting a church. The church in Managua is planting a church in this village. And so the guys here went out inviting people, and they came to that, and now they have so many contacts for this church plant. It was a real blessing. There was Megan and Sam led some worship the last evening, and then the bottom right, there were some testimonies of some of the people there. I want you to see, we all learned to love each other in this van, and it will hold 16 plus. And they don't care about seatbelt laws down there. So I wanted you to see we were well fed. We'll leave it at that. It was good food. And we had a good time of playing soccer. I think it was the first full day we were there. Fun team building and just fun getting to know the folks. And then we went out sharing the gospel a lot. At a public university here, I think on the bottom right, over on the right side, we're sharing with some nursing students there that were out in the area. We even got to participate, I guess you could call it, in a natural disaster drill that was scheduled that day that we didn't know about. So we all got to congregate in an area where the emergency people were, and there had these fake patients, you know, they're whisking off to the... Anyway, so we shared the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we went, even, you know, in all the stuff that we were doing and all the good deeds in Jesus' name, we shared with everybody almost everywhere we went. So that just gives you a sense for the trip, okay, for those of you that might not know what we were doing. So with that... I'm going to pass off the mic here. There's one mic in the back and one in the front, so we don't have any order to this. This is totally random, whoever wants to share first. So somebody just volunteer.
All right, I guess I can start. Lord.
So tell them your name there, too.
All right. Since I have the microphone.
Yeah, you want to stand up?
I can.
And right up to your mouth there.
Okay. Hello, my name's Damon.
Hi, Damon.
Hola. So, I am an adventurous type, and when I heard about this last year, I was interested in going, but I wasn't sure if that would ever be possible. And then Corinne had asked me, she was interested in going, so I thought, okay, we're going to go. So I had no idea what to expect, and I was kind of like, how is God going to use me when I'm, you know, I don't know everything there is to know, and I don't have the scripture memorized, but I know enough about Jesus, so I thought, okay, I can probably do this. So after going down there, one of the things I thought was pretty amazing was the worship. When we got there, we got to worship with the folks in their church, and side by side singing the songs. They sing familiar songs that we do, and it was overwhelming to see the two different languages at the same time worshiping one God. It makes you realize how small everything is and how big He is, and so that was really got me kind of fired up. So the next thing that had happened was I was on the construction crew, and we did some construction and better living for the young family in the village. And well, like I do here, I work really hard because I want to get things done, and I forget to take care of myself. So I didn't drink enough water. So I quickly realized the next day, following 2 days of construction, that I was pretty worn out and pretty, you know, beat down. And I had told a couple people, and they're like, well, just drink some water. And so this was like midweek, and I drank and I did not have to go to the restroom. And we were getting ready to go out and share, and I had told a couple people, and Julie looked at me, and she was like, you don't look so good. And I was like, I don't feel so good. I was like, I've been drinking water, and it's not working. So she said, I think you just need to tap out. Well, I'm a guy. I don't want to tap out. So, you know, I'm stubborn. But I realized that I needed to do that. So while I did that, it ended up being amazing towards the end. Because what had happened was I was trying to understand the whole time and still having doubts. Like, how is God using me? How is this going to work? So during that time, I couldn't understand. I was like, why am I getting sick? What is going on? And then I went back to my host family home to lay down because I couldn't go to worship that night. I was just wasn't feeling too good. I wanted to, but... And I was like, I couldn't get comfortable. I wanted to go to the hospital. And so I picked up my Bible, and I was reading in Philippians, which is where I kept getting drawn to. And it's 4:6, and it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I saw that and I thought, okay, I need to pray. And I said, Lord, you're the only one who can heal me, and you're the only one who can let me continue. I really want to go to the hospital tomorrow and bring hope to all the people. So please let me get some rest. And that was my prayer. And so I got the best 2 hours of sleep that I've ever gotten. And I realized something. God was telling me I need to trust Him more. But that's not where it stopped. So the next day when we went there to the hospital, we got into this sick patients where they were pretty sick. And we all went into groups and we started meeting the people. And it was amazing because they were all believers, which was really encouraging. But at that particular time, their loved one was not feeling very well. So they were, they weren't really up. But they saw us and we prayed with them and talked with them. And it just goes to finish this verse here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Jesus Christ. So we prayed with them and tried to give them peace with what they were going through, because it was a really hard time for them. And I just remember one lady in particular. She was so overjoyed that we would come there and be there with her and her family. And she just couldn't stop smiling, and she was just... And, you know, there were some other tough ones down the line as far as what was going on in their life, and it was very hard. But for that moment in time, God's glory was there in that room for that little bit of time, because if it wasn't for us, we wouldn't be there, and they got to see how Christ works in that situation. So that was what was really impactful for me on the trip. So thank you.
I can just go. Hi, I'm Amber. For those, is it loud enough? Yeah? You guys can hear me? So this is my first missions trip. I'm not going to talk about anything specific that happened necessarily, but just stuff that I learned through it. So the first thing was watching Christ work through people's weaknesses. So I had come straight from training camp for the race I'm going on in August. And so coming into that, I was like, I'm already exhausted. I've already had 10 days of this. So I feel like I got to that place a little sooner than everybody else. It was day two, and I was like, I can't. And even Greg came up to me at lunch and was like, so how are you doing? I was like, not wonderful right now. I'm just really tired, and my malaria medication wasn't, like, settling that day. And so I just told him, I was like, whatever happens today is just going to be the Lord. And I feel like that was a common thing that happened throughout the week. There were multiple times when in the morning somebody would come up to me and be like, hey, I don't think I can do it today, I'm tired today, whatever the case may be. And since I'd had that earlier, I was able to like give them that confirmation, like, okay, this is your day then, like this is the day that the Lord's going to work through you even more, and you can't deny that it's him. So a verse that went along with that that I was looking at was, what was it? 2 Corinthians 12:9, and it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So yeah, I just thought that was really cool. And then the second thing was, I learned a lot about stewardship in the last few weeks. So first off, does anyone know what stewardship is? No? Okay, I'll tell you. I have the definition ready. So it's a job of supervising or taking care of something. So I guess the main point of that is taking care of things that aren't your own. A parable that goes along with this was the parable of the talents. So the owner of whatever gave his servants a certain amount of whatever possession, and they were supposed to steward it and take care of it. And some people did, some people didn't. But what I've been learning, though, is what exactly we've been given to steward. So there's a lot of different facets to this. And at training camp, they talked about the stewardship of the gifts that the Lord's given us, the gifts and talents that he's given us, and that we have an obligation to use them within the church, and that the church body is the Lord's design, and that each and every one of us have something to contribute to that. So just being intentional about doing that. And finding the thing you're supposed to be doing and growing in things that maybe you're not comfortable with. So that was the main thing there. You can read in Ephesians 4. It has a lot of stuff about that. And then what I learned in Nicaragua about stewardship was the idea that things are not our own. Money is not our own. And I was able to see that in action with our host families. They're just so giving. You step into their house, and they're like, it's yours. Anything you want, anything you need, take it. It's 100% yours. And I talked to Anna at one point, and she was like, well, it's not mine. Like, so it makes it a lot easier to give when you realize that the things you have aren't yours. And then the last thing that we should be stewarding and that I've been convicted of is our time and energy, which I think is something that was super different in Nicaragua. If you go to talk to somebody, you have their full attention until you are done with what you want to say. And I feel like that's very different here, where people are always thinking about the next thing that they have to do or the next whatever. So just being intentional about using our time for the Lord and just being present with people. So I think those are the main things that I learned.
Get to skip you. I think I'm okay. Hi, I'm Beth. Nice. In case you don't know me, I'm fairly new here. And so for me, the two big things that I learned on the trip. One was a lot about how the body of Christ works together, and every part is needed. We spent a lot of time working with translators as we were going out, because a lot of times we couldn't do it without them. The conversations couldn't happen unless they were there with us. And typically we were in a group of four or five of us with one translator. Which at first I was kind of weirded out by, like, are they going to be overwhelmed by this big group of people coming in? And in all the cases, it wasn't a big deal. It was just a group of people talking together. And before the trip, I was very fearful and anxious about just stepping out and sharing the gospel. And just kind of like, this is why we're here. Can we talk to you about it? And ready, set, go. And even on the first day driving to the village, just really feeling overwhelmed with that anxiousness. But as we got there and we started doing it, and it was the whole group together, what I came to see was it wasn't just me, and it's never just me. It's me and the body of Christ and the power of God working through the words that were being given. One particular time that stands out in my memory is my group with our translator, whose name was Francisco. He and his wife had come down or come from Honduras to help translate for the week. And we were talking to a couple where the wife was a believer, but the husband wasn't. And as we were talking, it came down to he had been in a war, he had killed people, and just there's no way that he could get into heaven. At that point, Francisco just kind of took charge of the conversation. And I knew that it was important for this man, his name was Hugo, to hear this in the language that his heart hears in and without the interruption of translation. So I just sat and I prayed. And I prayed, and I knew enough of what Francisco was saying to kind of be able to direct my prayers based on what I had kind of heard. And towards the end, the only thing I could think of as I was praying was, God, just keep after this man. Keep after him. He's listening. It seems like he's taking it in, and so just keep after him. And at lunch, I was talking to Francisco a little bit about what he said, and he said, you know, at the end, what I told him was that I was just going to pray that God was just going to keep knocking on his heart's door and just keep knocking and knocking and knocking. And so just how the Spirit was leading everybody to just really pray for this man, and how the body works together that way. And then throughout the week, and Amber kind of alluded to this, the idea that the person that we were talking to was the most important thing. A lot of times we had a limited time of being able to talk to people where we were. And in particular, when you're at the hospital, we had 1 hour to talk to families that were kind of waiting on hearing news from people who are in the hospital or just being there with the people that their family members who were sick. And there was one woman in particular who it was obvious, I won't go into the whole story, but it was obvious that she needed the encouragement. It was an appointment that we had with her from God to talk to her. But she kept talking and she kept talking. And I was thinking, we have all of these sack lunches we to like pass out to other people. We're running out of time. There's, 15 minutes. Now there's 10 minutes. Now there's 5 minutes. But then realizing, no, what is most important is what we're doing right now. And it's obvious that we need to be talking to this woman. It's obvious that God has something for her to hear and to take in. And at the end of it, the end of that conversation was she had had some confusion about the security of her salvation. And in the conversations that we were able to have with her, she was able to have a better understanding and more peace about the fact that once she accepts God's free gift of salvation, nothing can change that, nothing can take it away. Which I feel like in a situation when you're in a hospital with questions of what could happen to, in this case, her mother, having that security and that peace is very important. So learning to be able to focus on the person and not be so worried about what's coming next was a big lesson for me.
Hi, I'm Holly. And I want to start out by saying that if you know me, you know that I'm almost always cold. Like, I'm probably going to go home and curl up under a blanket and put my sweatpants on. But so going into the trip, I was thinking, okay, cool. Like, we're going to be warm. It's warm there. It's going to be great. And then we got there. And the heat hit me like a ton of bricks. And every morning I'd wake up and I'd just be all gross and sticky. And then at night I'd, like, take my hair down and be this big. And I just, like, was, like, feeling really sick from the heat. And, like, what I didn't notice at first is every time we went out to share and we'd start talking to people, I didn't feel hot and I didn't feel gross. I just felt like the Holy Spirit was really there and, like, helping give us strength. But I didn't notice that until halfway into the week. So when we'd go out to the village or when we went to, like, the university and the schools, I just kind of, like, hung back because I was like everybody else, like Francisco, like Beth talked about, he took over a lot. And I just really felt like, oh, all these other people are being led and I don't want to get in the way of that because I probably won't be as effective because I don't feel good. And then we got to the university and then they were like, all right, Holly, it's your turn. I was like, okay. And then I started talking to this girl and I used one of the bracelets we made. We made, like, bracelets with, like, beads on them that, like, laid out, like, the gospel. And I started talking to her. And then she, like, a lot of the people down there, they thought, they, like, said they were Christians, but they believe more, like, works-based instead of, like, faith-based. And so I started talking to her. And eventually Francisco took over. But I just was, like, praying for her and praying that the gospel would be clear to her. And she didn't end up accepting Christ, but it was just really awesome to see how God used me, even though I was really hot and sweaty and tired. But that was just really awesome for me to see. And then we got to the hospital, and we met this lady and her daughter. And her daughter had leukemia, or no, lung cancer. She had lung cancer, and it was, like, really bad, and the doctors thought she was going to die. But then she ended up pulling through, but they found more spots, so she was back at the hospital. And so we talked to her for a long time, and, like, I think all of us got to say something. And then Francisco talked to her for a while, and they both prayed to accept Christ, which was really awesome. And then we were like, okay, like, I said, it's cool now, because now we get to see each other in heaven. And then later we went into the room where, like, the really sick people were, and there was one bed that was empty, and so we got all the way through, and then we turned back and we saw that those same people were still in there. And so we bent back over to them and prayed with them, and it was really awesome. We were talking about how it's definitely not a coincidence that we saw them again, and it was just really cool to see that. And then one verse, I was thinking of this verse all week, and I could not think of what it was, but I knew that I knew it, and then I found it the other day, and it's Acts 20:24, and it says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace. So when I found that verse, I was like thinking about all the things I was worried about, like being hot and being hungry and like missing like my mom. Hi, mom. And then I was like, all of that means nothing because like my job here on earth is to tell people about Christ and to have a relationship with God. So that was really awesome. And then it's really impacted me since I've gotten back. It's given me like, because like America's really different. Like people have said, like people in Nicaragua actually listen to you and like they're like more open-minded, but people in America are not as open-minded as you probably know. But it was just really encouraging being on that trip and like gave me such like more will to go out and talk to my friends and like people at school and people just like around the community. Just like I can talk to them and I don't have to be scared, because even if they don't want to listen, like that's my task, is to tell people about Christ, not to pick and choose or worry about like who's gonna listen or not. And so that was an awesome thing.
My name is Megan. Sharing the gospel was really great, but one of the things that I learned mostly was just through our brothers and sisters in Christ down there. We came down there to serve, but wow, they served us way better, I think, in some aspects. I feel like I just saw so much, like I know Amber and Beth kind of shared about this, but the power of God, like working through the body. You could see just like the continuing work of the gospel in like our brothers and sisters in Christ's lives. Like, you know, they didn't accept Christ and just like stopped there, but you could see like the love of Christ like radiating through them, like even more than I feel like I've ever seen before. They just serve us so well, you know, like the pastors and their wives and the leaders, they're like up super early before we're awake. They're like not even sleeping like till super late at night either. Like they are serving us like from the beginning of the day to like way late at night. It's like crazy. And so I just feel like I saw the proof of the continued power of the gospel. And I just feel like also the love that they show for their community down there. Like when we go out and share, like you could see like Lisandro or other people, like they were praying while we were doing that, or they were going up and talking to them. They like love their community and they want to serve their community. And that's why they want to start a new church down there in Messiah in the village, because they love their community so much. And so I just wanted to share like a couple of examples of kind of how well they served us, just because we were treated like family down there. And so the first one has to do with Pastor Angel. He actually didn't share this with us until Friday night, but when we were having our meeting, like a party, I guess, before we left, he said, I haven't told anyone this, really. I haven't told you guys this, but I actually got a ticket at the beginning of this week for driving too fast. I was pulled over. I was trying to get to you guys fast with your food, and I got pulled over, and I got a ticket, but down there, you have to pay your ticket within 24 hours. And he did not pay it within 24 hours. And so the price doubled. But he told us, he was like, but I wasn't upset. Like, I was so thankful that I was serving you, that I didn't even feel upset. I was like, not mad about it. I wasn't like ticked off or anything like that. He was just like, I was just so grateful to be serving you guys. And we are all so grateful to be serving you while you're down here. And like, that just hit me. I was just like, I can't even believe that, because I feel like if I get a ticket, I would not be feeling the same way as you are. So that was just one example. But also, I got the great chance of having my birthday down there, which is probably one of the best birthdays I've ever had. But I think it was just weird to me, because people I'd met like for 2 days, like they gave me gifts or presents for my birthday, and I was like, this is so weird. Like, if I met someone for like 2 days, I would not be giving them gifts. I would not be like celebrating their birthday. I'd be like, happy birthday, okay, like that's great. But like, they like took time. Like, Anna made me earrings. She took time to make me earrings. Or like people I hadn't even met, like Sam's host family, like got me two of these like tanks or whatever. And like, I didn't really talk to them that much, but they had given me that. And like, you could just see like their servants' hearts, like inside and out, like through their actions and everything like that. So that was amazing to me. And so this is the verse that I was thinking of, that God brought to mind this morning. It's Romans 12:9-12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And I feel like that's a good summary of what they were doing down there. They were genuine in love. They outdid us, I feel like, in honor. They were passionate for their community. They contributed to the needs of their community. They were hospitable, and they had so much zeal and energy and enthusiasm. And so I just feel like that was, like, super inspiring to me, because I feel like here I do not have that, like, for my community. I do not have that passion that they have, and, like, that's what I long for, and that's, like, what I want, is to have passion for my community and to reach out and to love on other people like they are. And so it was funny. I've been asking God for that, and the other day Sam and I went to the Scioto Mile, and we were sitting on one of the swings, and there was a homeless man next to us on the bench. I just felt like God pressing on my heart, like, you should go up and talk to him. And I'm like, oh no, I don't like talking to strangers. I don't like talking to strangers. I don't want to do this. Like, but he, like, kept pressing on me and pressing on me. And I'm like, I know I need to obey. Like, after seeing, like, what I saw in Nicaragua, I feel like I need to obey. And so I got out a couple of, like, food gift cards, and Sam and I went over there and we talked to him, and got to bless him, and pray for him and talk to him about his life. He was just so thankful, like, oh, I wanted someone to talk to. And so I'm just very thankful that God is, like, showing that to me and showing that, like, he can give me passion for, like, the people around me in the community, just like the people down there do. So.
I'm going next. Okay. I gotta get this over with. Okay. Okay, I have all this stuff here. I don't know how much I'm going to cover. Okay, so one thing I just, you've heard over and over again, how God has really united our team, and it was pretty amazing. One of the things I really wanted to focus on was, oh, by the way, were we supposed to say our names? I'm Julie. Yes. I'm Julie. Julie Royce. I just really wanted to focus on what God has done and to give him the glory. And I know he's been working all week, because I've been crying all week. And I know I just embarrassed Michaela to death because I'm always crying. But all I can say is it's the Lord. I can't help it. So if I start bawling, it's just God. one of the things that amazed me was how he prepared specific people for us to talk to all week. And you know that he's been working in these people's lives. And one example was Wednesday. We were going out in the community, and we were inviting people to church. And we came to this one house, and this was the day that Damon was supposed to be with us, but it's a good thing he didn't, because he would have passed out. So we went to this one house, and this man's little boy had been served by the church through their nutrition center, which means he gets, I believe it's breakfast and lunch every day for free, and they take care of him. And could tell that they're pretty poor. And this man came out, and the first thing they do is they always bring out all these chairs for us to sit in. So every family seems to have at least 6 plastic chairs. And when you come to visit, first thing they do is they get out their chairs and they set them all around before they even know what you're there for. They're not saying, what are you selling, like we do. No, they welcome us. So we could barely fit in his little storefront there. And so after he set it all up, he was just like, okay, ready to listen. And so he had his little boy there, and I believe the boy was eating cornstarch and water. So anyway, that was really sad. But anyway, so we started to share the gospel. And I think, Amber, you started that time? I don't know. And we started to share the gospel. And this man, his name was also Hugo. And he just started to talk, and he just started bawling and crying, and he was telling us that he had been an engineer, and then he had worked for the police investigators or whatever, and had a good job and stuff. And from what I gathered, somehow he had been wronged, and he lost his job, and he had nothing, and he was waiting for the courts to figure out what was going to happen and stuff. But he seemed very, very hurt, and he was just crying, and he was saying how he wanted to be a good dad and a good husband, but he failed a lot, and that maybe he should just go out and live in the streets and, you know, stuff like that, just leave his family, because they'd be better off without him. And so
tissues. Sorry, Michaela.
Okay, so anyway, so we were sharing the best we could, but then after he shared all that, I don't know, we were just looking at each other like, I have no words, I don't even know how to answer this. And we were just praying, and I forget who all was with, Serena, was that you? Yeah.
And then Francisco was there, but Lisandro was with us. And Lisandro just reached out to this man, and he took over. And he was talking to him and talking to him and talking to him, saying that when your heart is most broken is when you're ready to receive Jesus. And he kept pressing the gospel, and he kept offering the services of the church. And it was just a really beautiful thing to see. And they talked for a long time. I think it takes a lot longer to say things in Spanish than in English. But so they were talking and talking, and then at the end, Lisandro got up and prayed with him, and he prayed to receive Christ. Now, this whole time, he had his little son with him, and his wife was near him, too. And it looked like she might have been praying, but I'm not sure what she thought of everything. And so after that, we invited him to come to the church that night and said we'd have some snacks and things for him, and that they should come. And then, so then later that night, I noticed, I was disappointed because I did not see Hugo at the service there. And so, you know, the service went on, and then afterwards they were serving tacos or taquitos or whatever as their snack, filled me up. But, and Amber said that the wife was there. So unlike me, I was just like, okay, I'm going to go talk to her. You know, and usually I'm kind of one that's like, let's somebody else will do this, right? But I just really felt the Lord pushing me. I wanted to find out what she thought and that. So I went and kind of cornered her with a translator. And we talked, and I asked her, you know, what she thought about what her husband had, you know, what we had told her husband, how her husband had prayed and stuff. And she shared, she said that, well, normally he's a very hard man. He's very no emotion. And that when people would come to visit or people from the church would come, he'd be like, you take care of them. I'm going to stay in the back. You go. So this was just such a God appointment. It was just like the perfect time. He welcomed us in, which was unlike what he would normally do. His wife would take care of him. He was emotional. He broke down, which he is normally somebody that would not and would have up that wall. He was just so ready. And it was so neat to see how God used us in that timing. And it was nothing that I did. I mean, it was all the Lord, and I want to give him the glory for that. But one of the verses that came to me for this was when Paul's 1 Corinthians 3:5-7. Oh, boy, I can't see. Where'd it go? Okay. When Paul's talking about... I'll just read it. What, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And so throughout the week, it was just neat to see how God was doing everything, and he was using us in different ways, and the teams that went before us, and the church, and you know, it was all one purpose and one unity there. Before I take up too much time, there's one other thing that I wanted to add. Throughout this week, or that week, whatever, and leading up to this mission trip. See, I'd been on the mission trip before, and I was like, well, I want this to make a difference in my life. I remember going the last time, and I came back, and things kind of went back to normal, and I was like, I do not want things to go back to normal. Here we go again. So I was like, God, I want you to change me, because I can't change. I keep trying. And I want to give God glory, because he is changing me. On this trip, he gave me, I don't know, the audacity to do things that I would never do before, as some of you witnessed my soccer abilities. And just to not think so much about things, that when God says, go, do, I just do it. And it's neat to have that kind of faith and just step out, and God's giving that to me. And I'm saying God changed me. He took away the fear of surrendering to him. He took away the fear of inviting our neighbors over. That was exciting last night. I actually ended up with 3 neighbor families over at our house with 8 kids. And it was quite a party. And it all just started from, I remember sharing with somebody how I was scared to death, like, visiting people in Monago was easier than me going over to my next-door neighbors and asking them over for dinner. Well, I ended up doing it twice, and then a third one came. and so we've started some new relationships that I pray the Lord will bless. He's able me to daily take steps of faith or obedience that I would have said no to before. I'm more open to doing whatever God asks. The thing I can tell is that he is doing it, though. I don't know where this is coming from except for God, and I want to give him the glory. All I'm doing is praying and turning to him, and I just feel like he's giving me the... He's doing something, and I pray that he continues to.
Hello, my name is Sam.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to keep this short because I don't want to take up too much time because I know we're running out of time and there's more people that should share that haven't shared yet. But this was my first missions trip, and let me tell you, going to another country where you don't speak the language is pretty nerve-wracking when you don't know what anybody's saying and you don't know what the signs mean and... You don't know where you are because there's no road signs, and I'm pretty good about knowing where I'm at. Anywhere I go, I've got a good memory, but I had no idea where I was at most of the time. But what God worked through me the most, I think, was he reminded me how much I needed his word during the week, because as anybody knows me, I eat big portions when I sit down to eat. And they did not have American portions when we sat down to eat. Maybe during lunch and dinner they had sufficient food, but especially breakfast, it was... I got two pieces of bacon one morning, and I was like, this isn't enough, you know? I'm going to be so hungry later today, but... And I was. I was starving most of the time I was there. but... The passages that I've read in the mornings, I was camping out in Psalms, and they were talking about finding your strength in Christ. And I'd also gotten a Bible verse tattooed on my ribs, my rib cage that I saw every morning when I woke up, which was Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. And that was kind of those Philippians and Psalms was kind of what I needed to feed off of. I didn't have enough physical food to quench my hunger and to make me feel comfortable. But every time we would go out and share, I wasn't hungry, I wasn't tired or hot or whatever. I'd totally forgotten about that. And knowing that I had God's word to feed on was enough to sustain me for the day and for the night and the whole week, really. And again, just the hospitality there was absolutely amazing. I felt like I had visited a second family by the time I was leaving. I didn't want to leave because I felt like, you know, I was leaving my second family behind, which was hard. But I also missed my my family at home and in the States and food and you know and. Everything that we come to love and take for granted for here, I did miss. But I've tried to make a conscious effort to be more in the Word and in God and in God's presence, and not getting distracted by like Facebook and my phone and my laptop and anything that I would normally just come back to and like, oh, okay, let's just do this and that and the other, and not spend time with God. But trying to make a conscious effort to do that and to be more hospitable, like. I had seen how hospitable they were, and I wanted to be able to repay that. And so they, after the church service, you know, like how we do giving back to God time, and they pass the thing around. So I had brought $50 with me in tens to the country, and that's all I had. So I gave them a 10, which in their currency is more like 100. Because it's times 30, every dollar that we have is times 30 for them. So I made the mistake of leaving my passport and the copy of my passport in my day bag, which I left on a boat on the fun day. And we had gotten back to the van, and I'd realized I didn't have my bag, which had everything I needed to get out of the country tomorrow morning, which I did not have with me, and I immediately was freaking out. And I was like, I don't want to be stuck here by myself. Not being able to know what's going on, this is not good. So we jumped in Francisco's car, and we immediately tried to track down the guy that was driving the boat. And before we got off the boat, Francisco was translating for the driver, and he had said, like, because he had talked to us about all the islands that we were passing and who lives there and yada, yada, yada. So before we got off, he just made a joke like, oh, tips are appreciated, you know. And we all laughed, you know, and all that stuff. And then when we finally tracked him down and he had my bag, he hadn't taken anything out of it. I had, you know, a lot of expensive stuff in there. I mean, like pens and my passport and everything I needed to get out was in there, and everything was there. And the whole week I wanted to, like, do an act of kindness that would really bless somebody. So on the way, when we figured out where he was and we were driving to where he was, I just felt God pressing on me, like, you should give him some money, you know, because I don't know if I was holding him up from meeting his family or taking another boat ride. He might have been losing money waiting for me because I had messed up, you know. So when I got there, I gave him a 10 out of my wallet, and he came this close to, like, just bear hugging me right there. I mean, I settled for a handshake, but you could see it in his eyes that he was very, very grateful for that. And I mean, it's only $10 to me, but to them, that was a lot of money. And I think he deserved that for being so honest, not taking anything out of my bag, not even opening it. It was still closed when I got it, and he had come right out and given it to us. He didn't put up a fuss. He didn't ask for anything. So I guess God just worked through me as far as, you know, trying to be more hospitable and being more in his word. And just, I could go on and on about what we did down there, but he worked through me in a lot of ways, more than I have time to share about. But I was very blessed to be able to go down with everybody and to, you know, serve the people that we did serve down there. So, yeah.
Hi, my name is Corinne. Yeah, I'm nervous. It's great. I guess one thing I want to share this week is we went to a village. They were super poor. Well, everybody was poor, but, like, this was, like, very, very poor people. And we were sharing the gospel, and I remember we went to one house, and we got there, and she actually spoke English, so we didn't need a translator. But so we got there, and she was talking about how she wanted to get close with God, and she wanted to get closer with God, and she didn't have anyone to talk to in the neighborhood, and she had friends with neighbors, but not very much, and she didn't want to, like, go up to the neighbors and just, like, try and keep being friends with them because she thought she was being nosy and stuff. So we told her that it wouldn't be nosy to just try and share the gospel or make friends with the neighbors. And so we shared the gospel, and when we got done, she was talking about her son and how she kept trying to take him to church, but he didn't want to go. So we prayed that we could see him again, and that he would be more open to God when we leave. And so we got done, and we went back and got bags and food to pass out to the homes that were in the village. And we went back to that home, and the son was there. So we decided to share the gospel with him, and we gave him the little bracelet. Michaela, you have the bracelet. Yep. And we shared the colors and what they represented, and we gave him the bracelet, and he was definitely saved that day, for sure. And I hope that he went to church with his mother one time, and they have five kids. So, and she's a single mother, so it was hard, very hard for her. So the fact that he just was open to it, because he wasn't open to going to church, but the fact that he was open when we shared with him was very, very overwhelming. Like, when I was there, I felt like I was going to bawl, because, like, I don't know why. It was just so overwhelming, and I felt so thankful that we could do this and share with people, and they were so giving, and I just, it was very overwhelming, and I liked it.
Okay, I'm Michaela, if no one knows. I don't have a whole ton to say, but if you guys know me, I do not do well in heat, like, at all. And so I was a little nervous going down there because of the heat and stuff, but apparently it was definitely not as hot as it's been other years, but it was very hot to me, so I was a little worried. But so at the hospital, well, before we went to the hospital, I was not feeling good that day. Like, a lot of people have been saying, like, a lot of people did not feel good, and my stomach was, like, hurting, and it was just, like, one of those days. I was like, I don't know if I can do this, God. And so I was just, like, praying and praying, because, like, I really wanted to go to the hospital. I really wanted to do something. And so we were there, and I was just like, I don't think I can do this. But once my group, we, like, went up to people and then, like, just started talking. Right when we started talking, like, I was perfectly fine. Like, God just, like, took it all away from me, and I felt, like, awesome the rest of the day while we were at the hospital. But then once I left, it came back. But it was fine, because God just really used us to talk to people, and I know they really appreciated it. Everybody we talked to was just very encouraged that we came all the way down there just to talk about God and stuff. So it was really sweet to see that. And it's just so much easier just to talk to people down there, because they're so willing to talk, unlike people here and stuff. And so I think one thing that God really has set on my heart is just when I came back here, just to really just to talk to more people, because I feel like the real mission trip for me is being home, because I feel like it's harder to talk to people here. So I just feel like with just like my friends and coworkers and stuff, I've already seen like this week, like, God has pointed out people that I should talk to and stuff. So I just think that we should really, even when we're not on mission trips, I think we should just continue to serve God in everything we do and everywhere we go, because he will give us opportunities and people to show us. And then just when I was down there, just one thing that was just also on my heart was just being confident in myself and what I know and stuff with God. Because, like, when we went to, like, door-to-door in Messiah, and which is the neighborhood down there, I was kind of nervous because I was like, you know, I don't think I know, like, enough to be able to talk to people about it. But he really just spoke through me and stuff, and we got to see a lot of people's lives change. So that was really neat to see.
Hi, I'm Shelby, if you don't know. And there's a couple things that I got out of this trip. The first one, and we've kind of touched on this throughout everyone speaking, is that, like, God provides when you step out in faith. Throughout the whole week, I was starting, like, slowly declining, like, physically, like, energy-wise, and, like, other problems were arising, and like, when we went to the hospital, I wasn't really, like, feeling it, and like I told Michaela, I was like, I'm just in a little bit of pain today, and I'm not in a good mood. But then, I don't know, the afternoon we went back to the hospital, and I was like, you know what, God wants me to be here, and so I'm just going to give it to him. And then I was with Amber, and I don't know, it was a good group, so they all, like, helped me out. And Sam, sorry, Sam. and it was,
I know. It was the A team. Okay. But it was a really good group. And they were all helping me out. And we actually got to see two ladies accept Christ. And it was really, really cool for me to see that. And it just kind of reminded me that, you know, even though if I think there are, like, limitations for me, if I'm doing what I know God wants me to do, he'll provide anyway. And so I need to not put limits on what he wants me to do. And then something else was actually something that Mr. Berlisle shared in his message. Like, I think it was our first real full day there. As he talked about, like, he was talking about, like, foundations for family and stuff. And he said the number one thing is to, like, put Jesus first, like, seek him first and everything. And, like, you know, I've heard that before, but, like, that whole week I really was trying to seek God first, and I know all of us were, and the people down there were. And then I came back this week, and I was like, oh, I gotta go to work, oh, I gotta do this, and I wasn't seeking God first anymore, you know? I was just doing kind of going through the motions, I guess. And so I was kind of convicted about that last night, actually. And like how Mrs. Roy said that, like, you know, why go on a mission trip and come back and not let God change your heart? So that's something I'm looking forward to, and like praying that God will do that, and I think he will. And so that'll be good.
I'm Serena. One thing that was really, that God really put onto my heart to talk to you guys about today was we went to Messiah, and me, Holly, and Sarah cleaned the community center, and it was disgusting. We weren't expecting it to be so gross. There was like an inch of dust on the floor, and it was really hard. And we were cleaning for a couple hours. And after we cleaned for a couple hours, there was a lot of children that wanted to play with us. And children are very energetic, but children in Nicaragua are even more energetic. And they don't stop talking. And they were trying to play with us, and we were really tired and didn't want to play. And so it was during the couples meeting. We wanted to go play with them because they were up on the windows trying to talk and trying to get us to come out, and they were being very distracting. So we went out there, and the language barrier was really hard to get over with the kids because they didn't really understand that we didn't understand them, and we were talking gibberish, and they were really confused. So I personally saw, like, the language barrier not become an issue. It was like we understood them, and they understood us, and we played a ton of games with them, and I got a super burst of energy. I don't think I'm just talking about myself. I know Sarah was like, they loved Sarah. we played a lot of games, and they showed us a lot of games. It was super fun. But it was really hard to, like, keep going. I think that's one thing that you've heard everybody say, getting up every day and going. It was super hot. We were super tired. The breakfast was little, and it was really hard to get through the day. So that was one thing that I decided to share with you.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
And as Serena said, we did play with the kids, and at one point I got stuck on a seesaw, but that is a story for a different day. I think it was Wednesday that I went out with the group, and Sam and Mrs. Berlisle and Corinne were in that group, and we were, like, done sharing. We were going to go on our way back to the church, and Mrs. Berlisle was like, do you want to go talk to those people in that house over there? I was like, no, I really don't want to talk to these people. But I did, and I was, like, really sloppy. I don't know what was going on, but I was like fumbling over all of it. But our translator Anna, like, I don't know how, but she like made it sound more smooth to the people that we were talking to, and somehow they like got it through, and they like wanted to accept Christ. And like I was really shaken up, so I like passed it on to Sam, and Sam took over the prayer, and I was just like back there, I was like, this happened. And it was just showing that the Spirit can really work through anyone. And that was pretty cool, and that's what I want to say.
So the moral of the story is, don't get in my group when you go on a missions trip, because you will share. No, I'm just kidding. So we've been talking, so can somebody read a verse for me? I just felt like God wanted me to share this morning. So can somebody read Romans 6:23? You've probably all heard it before. So if you can read it into the mic, one of you, since we've all been talking. Somebody out there. Somebody.
For the wages of sin is death. Is that the one?
I just want somebody out there to
For the wages of sin is...
Never mind. Go ahead, Pastor.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah, so we use that verse a lot this week. And the reason I wanted it shared is because... I don't know how many of you know my testimony, but my testimony is I sat in church for years and years and years, and I never heard that. Believe it or not, I never heard that message in a church. And so in a church, or whether we're in Managua, a lot of the people that we shared with, there was one person that was saved and one that wasn't. And this morning, there might be somebody here that's not heard that before. And so God just put on my heart that that's what he wanted me to share this morning. So we were talking about how the wages of sin is death. We all deserve to die, to be eternally separated from God because of our sin. And it was Megan's birthday, as you already heard down there. And so we used that illustration. I thought, well, God gave us this. I mean, it's her birthday. So when we were sharing, I'd say to people, you know, it's my daughter's birthday. She happened to be in my group. Funny how that happens. And so I said, you know, so it's her birthday, and so we're going to give her gifts. And I said, you know, sometimes she's done things wrong. In fact, I've done things wrong. but I'm still going to give her a gift because I love her. And that's what God's done for us. He's given us this free gift. We can't do anything. That's what I thought growing up. I thought I had to be good enough to go to heaven. I had to, you know, do all these things. But that's not how we get to heaven. It's because Jesus died on the cross, and it's a free gift. We just have to accept. And for years, I believed that in my head, but I never really accepted that gift in my heart. And so if you're here today and you haven't done that, I just want to encourage you to do that. And if you do, to tell somebody here, because they would love to pray with you and help you to go further in your walk with the Lord. But I just also want to share, as we did talk to a number of people, and it's just like you could see in their eyes, they're here, they knew the Lord, they'd received that free gift, and the person standing next to them, they were like, they haven't. You could tell. They would even tell us that. And the person would say, yeah, I haven't received that gift. So those were God appointments in my mind. And so keep on praying for loved ones and friends, because I was thinking how God wants to do that here too. He wants to send somebody their way, another Christian, to share with your loved ones and friends. So.
Hey guys, I'm Andy. So, a couple people have mentioned our translators, Francisco and Emily. They're a husband and wife team who work for the Great Commission Church in Choluteca, Honduras. And during the summertime, this is basically what they do, is translate for mission teams. In fact, I think Francisco told me how many teams he's translated for in his life, and it was a lot. It was hundreds. I really liked these guys. They were very enthusiastic about their work and the work that we were doing. I had a lot of respect for them, a lot of admiration for them. And so, at the end of the week, I thought it would be a good idea to, since they had worked with so many mission teams and they had never met any of us before, to kind of ask them for their impressions of our team. And so they gave me some good things to share. And so this is partly for you guys, but it kind of also, you know, applies to the whole church family. So I had to talk to them separately. I couldn't get them both together at the same time. So this is kind of a summary and in combination of everything they said. So They told us, that we were generous and flexible, which are two good things to be when you're a mission team, especially the flexibility part. You don't often know what the plan is until 5 minutes after you're doing it. They also told me they were impressed by the number of young people, the youth in our group. I'm sure you guys love being all lumped together under that term. they were impressed by that. I think that reflects well on, our youth and their parents and the church family here for raising youth who are so enthusiastic, who raised all this money and took a week out of their summer to go down and share the gospel with people and have to spend time with, uncool people like me who don't know how to use Snapchat. I do not, no. Yes. Yes. So there was that, and they also pointed out, Francisco really pointed this out, that he saw really a great respect for leadership with our team, Pastor Greg and the other local church leaders there. And that was demonstrated mainly in a lack of complaining and just a willingness to do anything that was asked. And like I said, with the flexibility, you just never knew what we were going to be doing next. So he told us really that he really commended us for that. That was something that they were blessed to see. And then the final thing that they pointed out, which was kind of a theme for the whole week and with the church that we helped in Managua, was a strong family element among our team. And I know that a lot of the people on our team are folks who either grew up here or have been here at Darby Creek for a long time, but others haven't. And he was, talking about that in regards to the whole team. And he told me that he and they felt, a part of our family being with us for a week. And that was, again, a theme that was emphasized also by the local pastors there in Managua, that they were a family. I was having some conversations with my one of my hosts, who's kind of an elder there in the church, and he told me that he believes very strongly that they have a strong family element in their church, and he believes that that's very important. They were constantly reminding us that we were part of their family. And Francisco told us that he doesn't see very many teams of missionaries who are like that, who have that that element of family as strong as we did. Like I said, they told us that they felt a part of that. We should not take that for granted. He believed that very strongly, that we all share the same DNA, and I think Pastor Angel told us one evening, that we were there and we were part helping them as part of the local church, and he reminded us that the local church is the hope of the world. So, thank you.
All right, so. You guys go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. Praise God for these guys. And I just want to say, too, thank you for your patience this morning. Normally we keep to the time and are respectful of your time. But this only happens once every 2 years, okay? We go on this trip every other year. And then on the off years, for example, next summer, we'll be doing some sort of project locally where we reach out into the area around the church. So just thank you for your patience. I just wanted everybody that went to get a chance to share and so on. So thank you for your patience. And I hope you were blessed by the words today that were shared and encouraged in your faith. And so we'll have a closing song. It's an opportunity to give back to God. If you're new to Darby Creek or you're just here visiting, we don't want you to feel obligated to give. Only give as the Lord directs you to. And I hope you'll come back next week as we get into God's Word. I'm sure some of my experience will make its way into the message next week. And let me just pray for the offering, pray for our time here. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of testimony. Thank you that in your word, in the Psalms, so many times the psalmist says, I will declare the works of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And that's what's happened here today. We've seen that lived out. And Lord, pray that you would just continue to bless our church family here and bless our community. Lord, we want to be a blessing to the people that live in this area and around our homes and where we work, and we want to take the love of Christ to everywhere that we go. And so, Lord, we commit this offering to you. We pray that it would be used for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.